Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Vicki.
You hung the stars up in the sky, in a heart to beat and a birds to fly. Creation around me exists. Hold your love is a beautiful thing. Look all around and I see this masterpiece that you made to be. Mission glorifies the King of Kings, for your love is a beautiful thing. Everything, Lord, that you are is a gift you revealed in, fashioned by your very hand, for all the world to see. Yes, your love is a beautiful thing. Cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me, shed his blood to set us free. Lord, your love is a beautiful thing. Every knee will bow, and every tongue we confess, Jesus Christ is a King of Kings. Lord, your love is a beautiful thing. Everything, Lord, that you are is a gift you revealed in, fashioned by your very hand, all the world to see. Yes, your love is a beautiful, love is a beautiful.
Father, as we study our new course, the mystery of the kingdom of God, may we be enlightened by the Spirit. May we be enabled by his power to comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge by your enabling power, by your illumination, by your Holy Spirit, because we could not understand any of it apart from him. You've given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment of our inheritance of the kingdom, which is yet to come. In the meantime, we are to be true worshipers. We are to be those who aim to please you in all that we say, choose, and do. And to be very sensitive, to take advantage of the grace recovery procedure whenever it's necessary, and to ravage the Word of God. The reason we're here is to know Jesus Christ by his Word. We're not here for any other reason, not to gratify our flesh, our desires, not to make a name for ourselves, not to acquire or amass wealth, but to take advantage of our opportunity, our great opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust are not corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. If our heart is there, we will value that. to value what's in your heart. Father, may we be those who bring honor and glory to your name by grace and through faith unto a living hope, a lively hope in Jesus Christ. May we add virtue to faith so that we might have supplied to us an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Some will, Lord, and you've told us so clearly that some will not. That doesn't mean they won't be saved. It just means that they won't own a piece of the kingdom or rule in the kingdom, but will be under kingdom rule. Father, thank you for these things and enable me to communicate as I ought to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We pray it in the matchless name of Jesus, the Spirit of the prophet, the Spirit of all prophecy. In his blessed and matchless name we pray, amen. Intro, Mysteries of the Kingdom. We're going to teach messages on the kingdom. Come on in. Find a seat. Sit on Jim's lap. Oh, let's see, we've got a row reserved for you. See? Beautiful. Don't worry, I didn't tell them who you are. Good to see you. Sunday, May 28th, 2017, I'm going to do a series on the mysteries of the kingdom. With the mystery of the kingdom. Turn to Matthew 13, verse 1. I'm going to present large chunks of scripture, so you've got to be up to the task. I hope you have your Bible. If you don't, why not? It is church. Well, maybe you're going to write down the words of Scott instead of the words of God. The big problem in the church is that people, that believers, follow men, and they don't get down to the raw guts of the Word of God or examine the Scriptures and test everything by the Scriptures so that they're not out in left field following the latest trend of teaching or spiritualizing that which is literal and literalizing that which is spiritual in the Scriptures, as so many do. The Scriptures are not subject to private interpretation at all. So if you're a pastor, if you teach the Word of God, you've taken on a heavy responsibility, and you dare not distort it. Don't give your opinion, because opinions are like rectums. Indeed they are. You know the rest of the saying. I just want to be real clear. Say, they probably kicked me off sermon audio for that one. You can't say that. Yes, you can. Say worse things than that. I'll be more vile than that. Get the message across. Matthew 13, 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, resting a bit. And great multitudes gathered to him. Jesus is here. They all had to run out to see Jesus. Maybe he was going to feed them or do some miracle, make their life a lot more interesting. I saw a miracle Jesus did today. He fed 4,000 people and had 12 baskets left over. Fed 5,000 people and 12 baskets left over. Maybe he'll do that all the time. Let's make him king. He is the king of the kingdom. And great multitudes gathered to him so that he got into a boat and launched out and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach, and he spoke many, that was his pulpit, was the boat. And he spoke many things to them in parables, rolling spiritual truths alongside earthly, common earthly processes like farmers, athletes, various things, money things, like when the man went to a foreign country to obtain a kingdom. And he gave 10 of his slaves, one mina each. And then came back, and they had to account for what they did with it, even as we will. So, verse 3, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower, the farmer, went out to sow." Agricultural parables. "And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon rocky places where there was not much soil." Where they did not have much soil. "And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Sounds like Revelation 2 and 3, doesn't it, to the seven churches? Well, 9 times Jesus says that here. 7 times in Revelation 2, and once in Revelation 19, or 16, one of the two. "He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom from heaven. It's not here yet. Even though Jesus was there, he was the king, the kingdom hadn't come yet. "When will the kingdom come, Lord?" And he gave them all the signs of the end times. Wars and rumors of wars, various natural disasters, earthquakes, and persecutions, etc. He says, but the end has not yet come. It's the beginning of birth pangs only. So, he says, the disciples said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Why? Because they don't want to know. They're not interested enough to know. They want to gratify their life and time and their own fleshly desires. And they're looking to Jesus to be a political leader, Messiah, maybe deliverer from the tyranny of Rome, and to be a meal ticket. Is that what you want him to be? No, don't. Please don't. Some people, I mean, that's in evangelical Christianity, that's common, very common. "I love the Lord because he gives me lots of money." Well, what if all your money went away? Or, "I love the Lord because he protects my children." Well, what if one of your children dies? Then what are you going to do? Be bitter against God? The Lord kills and makes alive. Don't talk like one of the foolish people. And Job said to his wife, "Shall we only accept good from the Lord and not difficulty or adversity? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Fall on your face and worship. That's what you do. That's what we did when my daughter died. We fell on our face and worshiped God. We know he's all wise. Do we know why he does what he does? No. We never asked him why. Never even asked him why. We just accept it from him. His sovereign purpose in the lives of those he takes, probably to spare them great evil and time, and the ones he leaves behind, so he can prove himself faithful, faithful, faithful. God in three persons. So before I get carried away, which I feel like doing, by the way, go ahead, Scott. Okay. I will. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has what? All the desire, listening skills, availability, who presents availability, willingness, shall more be given. You'll just keep on getting more and more. And he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have desire or present willingness or availability to listen and heed the word of God and to contemplate its meaning, which the Holy Spirit always comes in to define for you if you just wait instead of asking people, what do you think this means? Well, I'll tell you what I think, but you know what opinions are. We already went that route. He says, therefore, whoever does not have even what he has, it says in another place, what he supposes he has, because he doesn't have really anything, shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you'll keep on hearing, will not understand. And you'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And their ears, with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. And I should heal them. Return in humility, teachability, and I'll heal their. What's that, the AD? What is that syndrome children have today?
ADHD.
ADHD, yeah. Learning disorder. I'll heal their learning disorder, which has to do with volition, not with anything else. Because if you're willing, you'll know the doctrine that it's of God the Father. Jesus told his disciples when Peter made the great confession that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody who I am. Why? Because he wanted them to tell them? No. He came preaching the kingdom of God. He said, the words I speak are not my words. They're my Father's words. He magnified the Father, not himself. I wish preachers would take a lesson from that. We preach Christ, not ourselves. Ourselves as servants, bond servants of Christ. Warning every man and teaching every man that we might present every man complete in Christ. That they would fulfill God's will and have a full inheritance in the kingdom. So, verse 16. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I love this verse 17. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men of the past, he's referring to those in the past, in Israel's history, desired to see what you see and did not see it. How privileged we are to live on the finished work side of history, where God has just poured out all of this magnificent truth. And shame on us if we don't take advantage of our golden opportunity to pick up the golden fork of faith, mix faith with it,
See, the wilderness generation had the same message preached to them, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, but it didn't benefit them at all because they didn't mix faith with it. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. And so what happened? They died. They didn't get to go into the promised land. They didn't get to go into the promised land. Moses didn't even go in. God's no respecter of persons. And if you think he is, look what he did to his son when he was made sin for us. There were no holds barred. He pummeled him mercilessly on the cross as he went to hell on the cross for you and for me. Oh, how we should honor his death in every possible way. By a life, not live for ourselves, but live for him as substitutes for him in 2 Corinthians 5:14. So, truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. He's going to explain it to them and us. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, it's a specific category of truth, the coming kingdom, and does not understand it. Here we go. Me, I don't understand it. At least I admit it. You just have to admit it. I don't understand it. And after Jesus finishes all this, you'll see. He says, do you understand all these things? And they go, yes, we do. They didn't understand any of it. And we understand so little. That's why I'm doing this, because it's so important to understand the kingdom. What did Jesus preach? He preached the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Repent. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Paul preached. That's what Peter preached. That's what Philip preached. I can show you all that. I have them all written down. I'm going to print a list off for you of all the references to the kingdom of God in the New Testament. 65 of them. And then there's 45 others that say the kingdom, or the kingdom of or from the heavens, etc. So you can read them all and meditate on them and study, and then you can say, I do understand the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. So, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes. Those are the birds. And snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. As we're walking down the road, and they hear the word of God, they pay no attention to it at all. It comes in and it's sown, but the birds come and take it away before they ever think about it again. They've got more important things to do. Other reasons for living besides that. There's something wrong with you people. If you're number one priority is the word of God, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, you're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. That's what a disciple is, a disciplined learner, mathetes, an apprentice of Jesus Christ. What do you think he did all his life? Float around? Go to movies? Go drink coffee and eat breakfast with people? He did do some of that, but he made breakfast for them after his resurrection. And then he said, Peter, do you love me? Love. I knew that was going to happen sooner or later. Love has fallen off the pulpit. He made breakfast for him and said, Peter, do you love me more than all these other things and all these other people? Not more than they do, but more than you love these people and more than you love these other things. And he says, no, Lord, not as I should. That's what it boils down to. Not as I should. Pour your love into my heart by your Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we make progress, is by receiving the love of God. Believing the love of God, receiving the love of God, and God pours it out into our hearts. By the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Best teacher ever laid his notes on a pulpit. But he doesn't use notes and he doesn't have a pulpit. His pulpit is your heart. If it's for me,
I shut it off. I don't know why it's on.
It's not. It's the Lord calling you. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He teaches the human spirit under the surface, between the lines of Scripture, above the consciousness. And Christ gets all the credit. All the merit. Solves all the problems. Answers all the questions. He's the only one you need. He's everything you need him to be. He provides everything that you have, your job, the money you get, the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear. He provides all of it. The breath you take each moment while you're alive on earth. Verse 20. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He seems very enthusiastic about it. Yet he has no firm root in himself. You would guess he was really going to be amount to something, this guy. But he really has no root in himself, which means that he really doesn't know how important it is, nor does he care to find out. Other things are more important. He's got too many obstacles in his way. Rocks and no soil. It's shallow. So he goes, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, yeah, he acknowledges that the Word of God is wonderful, but that's as far as it goes. That's not what God's after. He wants it to go down deep into our ears and to reside and circulate in the innermost regions of our invisible being until God's Word is what we think, choose, and do. That's the principle of the kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. God presented the opportunity for you to do that. And if you do, and only a few will, it's a fact. Those will be kings and rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. Not politicians. Kings. You know what kings are? They're absolute rulers. I'll define kingdom for you in just a moment. He has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. He has brief moments of clarity, and the rest of his life is confusion. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. He said, I didn't bargain for that. Who needs that? It's not important enough. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the conflicts and cares of this world, people, places, and things, and the deceitfulness of riches, priority to make lots of money, choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. In other words, it produces nothing. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. Why? Because he relies on God to do so. And is not going to go away until he does. He makes his petitions known to the Lord. And he says, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Raise your voice for wisdom and understanding. Vicky Song. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Some 100-fold, some 60. Oh, who indeed bears fruit. That means really does bear fruit. It brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared, I'm going to read the whole passage, to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. That's called bastard wheat or darnel, and it looks like wheat until it matures, and then you can tell the difference. And went away. And when wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you're gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. You don't want to jeopardize the wheat harvest, because you'll pull up wheat and tares. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares, bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, talking about the true and the false, true believers and false believers, right inside Israel, right inside America, right inside the church. There are some that will have nothing to reward at the judgment seat of Christ because they didn't think the word of God worthy, and therefore they did not walk worthily and did not fulfill their heavenly high calling. Like Paul, one thing I do, forgetting all that lies behind, I press forward to that which lies ahead, to the mark of the prize, the upward summons of God, issued by Christ Jesus. I want to be great in the kingdom. So I make myself the servant of all. The greatest will be the servant. Who's greater, the one that serves the meal or the one that sits at the table? Well, the one that sits at the table. And Jesus said to them, well, look, here I am. I'm the king and I'm the servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. That's a principle of the kingdom. The greatest will be the least. The least will be the greatest. The first will be last. The last will be first. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, very tiny grain, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air, we already know what the birds are, they're demon spirits that snatch away the word. In this case, they're squawking birds that preach false messages. The birds of the air come and roost in its branches. All the different churches and denominations with squawking birds saying this and that, bringing their opinions, their interpretations, emphasizing certain things and ignoring others, not teaching the full counsel of the Word of God and holding back that which is profitable to the people, which is everything. For all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good deed. Not Boy Scout good deeds, the works of faith, the labors of love, and the steady production of hope. So they have something to reward. So that he'll take and use his opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven, so that when he gets there, he'll have big pockets in his resurrection robe for spending money. And he'll be able to do all kinds of things. The Lord says, you were faithful in a few things, I'm going to make you the ruler over much. Because he knows our weakness, our frame, pities us, knows we're dust. And so if you have any semblance of the spiritual life, you get rewarded. The whole world stands against it. And the enemy of your soul does everything in his power to distract you, divert you from the path. But you have to say,
Now to yourself, take up your cross and follow him. That's what it's about. That's what the kingdom's about. You see, the king bearing his own cross to Calvary and then crying out, we won't have this king to rule over us. Pontius Pilate says, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you answered correctly, sir. You said it correctly, sir. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. So you think you're in the kingdom now? You're not in the kingdom yet. The kingdom's coming. You have semblance of the kingdom in terms of what's inside of your heart. If you understand what the kingdom is, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. It's not talk. It's power. It's the power of apprehension, assimilation, and application of kingdom truth, God's word. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have the opportunity to do his will on earth, even as you will in heaven, voluntarily. But I can tell you this, every knee will bow. Jesus gave everybody in the church equal privilege and equal opportunity. And like the Exodus generation, believers don't take advantage of their much greater opportunity than they had. They'll be like those who received a mine and didn't produce anything and thought, well, the Lord is mean, so I'm not going to do anything. He's not going to rule over me. And so he says, we won't have this man rule over us. So what he says is, bring me all those enemies, those who won't let me rule over, and slay them in my presence. What? That's not very nice, Jesus. He never claimed to be nice. He claimed to be God. That's how God is. Don't trifle with him. You won't live to tell about it. Where am I? Oh, the mustard seed and the bird squawking in its branches. Becomes a large, abnormal garden plant. Becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and roost in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. What's leaven? Leaven is evil and hypocrisy. And the kingdom of heaven is wrought with leaven. It is. But Christ took our sins away, made it possible for us to please God. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden, kept secret since the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. He's so identified with mankind that he calls himself the Son of Man. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. He's the God-man, Jesus Christ. In his I can't think of the word all of a sudden. His essence is God and man. Dual essence. And the field, hypostatic union. And the field is the world. The field is the world. You have to remember these images. The field is the whole world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom
And his kingdom is the whole world, because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God, knows Christ. In Revelation 12, 9. Gather out of his kingdom all scandalous stumbling blocks and those who are flagrant committers of lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, to say the least. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We'll get into this later. But it has to do with the Jews being hidden, dispensed into the world, and hidden in the world. They don't even know they're Jews, and God's going to redeem them in the end from the 10 lost tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. Those who are called by the 13th tribe's name, Ephraim. Ephraim is my firstborn, Jeremiah said, under inspiration. Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, in the church age. From all dispensations, but from the church age in particular, those who are in union with him, with Christ. Body parts of his upon the earth. And he found and hid. He found. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he did. He came and found us. And then hid us. Hid all redeemed humanity in the earth. Doesn't appear what we shall be. And the world doesn't know you. The Lord knows those who are his. You can be sure of that. Don't try to guess if somebody's saved or not. Just make sure you are. That you come to God on the proper basis, on the merits of another, on the merits of Christ, and come into his presence in the name of Christ only, not in your name. He'll do like the seven sons of Sceva. Well, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who the hell are you? And beat him after death. This is my day to be vile. So he found them and hid them. And then he sells everything he has. And he did, didn't he? Into your hands I commit my spirit, O God of truth. Gave up his spirit and died. As his soul went into the lower regions of the earth, his spirit to the Father, and his body lay in the tomb for 3 days, and all three reunited again and glorified in a second, a flash. And he stayed around for 40 days, teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's what he taught them. He sent them out. He sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God before they even knew who he was. Who do men say that I am? He says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, I am. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. Then he turns around immediately, and Jesus said, let this saying sink down deep into your ears. The Son of Man must be delivered up and brutally treated and crucified by the leaders of the Jewish nation. They didn't even know that. And Peter said, I'm not going to let that happen. He said, well, he had to. Well, they didn't know that. They didn't know anything. They didn't even know for sure who he was. Finally, we believe that you're the Christ. They didn't believe until they were filled and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, they're brilliant. Peter could preach. Before, he can't even put two words together. He said, but dumber than me. That's pretty dumb. Or I say dumber than you. Dumber than us. If you think that you're smart, then you've never come in contact with the genius of Jesus Christ. Because we're nothing. He's everything. Like Albert Einstein and Moe from the Three Stooges. Only that's an understatement too. Or Scott, like the Lord and Scott. Thank God that you don't have to deal with me, deal with God. So, where did I leave off? Does anybody know? The field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are sons of the kingdom. I did that, and the tares are sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. Son of Man will send forth his angels. I did all that, didn't I? Will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Those are people that profess to be real believers and aren't. And that they're citizens of the kingdom, but they're citizens of another kingdom. The God of this world is their God. But they're good pretenders. Oh, they received another spirit, another Jesus, and another gospel. Oh, the treasure hidden in the field, I did that too, didn't I? Merchant seeking fine pearls, Jesus gave up everything. Oh, they says, then he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, I believe that means the church, he went and sold all that he had to bring Israel and the church, and even in the overlap, because there's an overlap. Many believers in Christ are of Jewish descent, and it doesn't matter for the sake of salvation. It only matters that God promised Abraham descendants that would be as abundant as the grains of sand on the seashore and the stars of the universe. So you would never guess it. There's only 13 million people that know they're Jews in the world today. 6 million plus in the United States, 6 million plus in the rest of the world, mostly in Israel. 2.5 million in New York City. They control everything in commerce, media, international politics, banking, all of it. They're unbelieving Jews. Ashkenazi Jews. Not really Jews at all, though they're from Jewish heritage. They had a great advantage and opportunity too, but they didn't take advantage of it. No, they believed the lie instead of the truth. They believed that the disciples came and stole his body away instead of believing the truth that God raised him after 3 days. Just like Jonah. That's the only sign he'll be given. 3 days and three nights in a stinky belly of a stinky fish. And then going to the shores of Nineveh where they worshipped the fish god, Moloch, and being spread out onto the shore. They all bowed their knee. As he proclaimed, Jesus Christ is God. The coming of the Savior. And they repented at the preaching of Jonah. We need to repent too, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had. He certainly did, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad fish they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe, everyone who writes and reads the word of God, who has become a disciplined learner of the kingdom of heaven, is like a head of a household. He's responsible for his household, himself or the others in his household, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. New things. Jesus said, I have many more things to tell you, but you're not quite yet able to bear them. You've got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. New things.
and old things. A new covenant and an old covenant. The old covenant makes you long for the new covenant. The new covenant has as its features far better things. And we have partially have that new covenant enacted now, and it will be in the final times in the millennial kingdom, when you won't even say to your neighbor, "Know the Lord." They'll all know me, from the greatest to the least. And when they'll learn war no more. The lion, the bear lie down with the lamb, each straw. You don't see that happening today, do you? That's because the kingdom isn't here yet. Therefore, every scribe who's become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household. His main job is to bring forth out of his treasure new and old things. And it came about that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogue. I hate going home. Jesus did too. Nobody believed him. Nobody thinks in your family that you're true. They sure wonder about you. They're worried about you. Because you're not like the rest of them. I don't know. I think you went off the deep end. And he said the same thing to Jesus. Come on, rest a while, Lord. You're getting a little carried away, aren't you? Going to church twice a week? You won't miss one session in heaven. You won't be able to wait to get there, because all these things will open up to you. Like I was saying, like numerology in the Bible. When you see the numeric value of letters and words, and how the thing is this algorithm of magnificent proportion that makes God into far greater than you ever dreamed he was. And you truly are so motivated to learn all you can learn. We go in and out and find pasture here, but we got to get that word every day, because that's why you're here. And if you don't, then you're going to be ruled over by the kingdom, but if you're a believer, but you're not going to rule over others. And that'll be important, because that just means that you are became all that he said you were from the start. You didn't do anything. He did it in you. You just learned to let or allow him to do it. They couldn't do that in the Old Testament. They didn't have the indwelling of Christ. They didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit. Certainly didn't have the indwelling of the Father. They barely knew the Father. They didn't know the Son or the Spirit. What? We never heard there was a Holy Spirit. The people in the outer regions of Ephesus said, when Paul encountered him, we didn't even know there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit. What's that? Who's that? He's Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of burning, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. Your mentor, your comforter, your teacher. The one that shows you all things, leads you and guides you into all truth. Brings to you remembrance of things you forgot. Recalls the word of God to you. Instills and recalls it. If you just give him a half chance. A little bit of time. Tithe your time. It's the least you can do. I didn't say money. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. So it won't be a problem. You don't have to coax people to give. Coerce people to give that are in the kingdom. No, that's their great privilege. I got so many things going through my head right now that I can't wait to do the rest of this. But we're running out of time. This is a brief introduction through this passage. So it came about that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they became astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?
Is not this the carpenter's son? They don't even know who he is. Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? So he had more than one sister. And these were his brothers. Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Does he offend you? I hope so. I hope he offends the hell out of you. Then he'll put heaven in you. And you can agree with God even against yourself. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Why should he? They'll believe him anyway. Faith comes by hearing anyway. In Matthew 13:11, this passage, Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. So we'll close with this. What is a kingdom? To understand the kingdom of God, we have to begin by asking, what is a kingdom? Anyway, the primary dictionary definition of the word kingdom is a state or government having a king or queen as its head. That's from Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary, Portland House, published 1989. This is also the biblical definition of a kingdom. Four things are necessary to constitute a real kingdom: a king or ruling agent, land or territory, subjects or citizens within the territorial jurisdiction, laws, and a form of government. If we leave out any of the above elements, we do not have a real kingdom. And if we believe in some ethereal sort of kingdom, we don't believe the true gospel. The truth of the kingdom is revealed in God's word only. What men think and teach is irrelevant. What God says plainly in the Holy Scriptures is the only truth by which we are set apart unto the coming kingdom. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. The Bible reveals that Jesus' message concerned government and governance. He was born to be humanity's king. The prophet Isaiah wrote of him, we'll close with this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. Can't turn my page. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, of hosts of the armies, will perform this. Isaiah 9:6-7. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and you see this in a new light, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we do so, everything else will be added or fall into place. When Jesus stood before, we'll do this on Tuesday, when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, was asked, are you a king? He answered, you're correct, sir. For this purpose I came into the world. You can read about that and prepare for Tuesday night. Read John 18. Through 19:16. John 18 through 19:16 at least. Or you can read all of John 18 and 19. It won't hurt you at all. I have so much more here. Oh, heavens. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. It's from the Word of God. I want to get to the parable of the miners, but I didn't do that either. That'll be in our next session in a half hour. I'll close by saying this. There's a gap. Paul did that too in Romans. There's a gap in our understanding of just what this life is for. So let's close the gap. Let us walk worthy of the kingdom and walk around as Jesus did in the days of his humanity in anticipation of the glory that shall be ours when he comes. Let us be alert, awake, and aware, lest the day find us unprepared. The results of your life will be clear-cut and your place assigned based on your capacity for eternity as either a prince or a pauper in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Vicki, if you would get ready, please. And if I could have my ushers, Father, bless the word and bless the offering. And bless the word in this new series, Father. May we gain great definition. And we're depending completely upon your spirit. I am not able to ferret out these things. You have to do it. You have to lead me beside still waters and to green pastures. You're my shepherd. I need no one else. Thank you for these things. Bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
We could all stand. Mm-hmm.